going to be talking today about a unique college in Appalachia, and it's called Alice Lloyd College. And you will find this extremely interesting because of certain things about the college that just don't happen anywhere else. And our guest today is Joe Allen Stepp. He's been the president of Alice Lloyd College for 37 years, and he's going to tell us about the history of the college and what they do different than everybody else and why it is so important, especially for this area of Appalachia. I think that they serve 108 counties. So, without getting into any of his stuff, I'm going to introduce Joe Allen Stepp. Joe Allen, how are you doing today?
Blessed. Doing quite well, and thank you so much for having us on.
Well, I've been getting your literature for a number of years, and I said this was such an interesting story that I just got to do a podcast on it. So would you start by giving us a little insight into the history of Alice Lloyd College and maybe the book Miracle on Caney Creek, and tell us how it all got started?
I'll try to give you the short version, but
we're actually
co-founded by two women from the New England, or from the Boston area. And Alice Lloyd was the first one, and Jim Buchanan second. But Alice Lloyd had lots of health issues. She was educated in some of the finest schools in all of Boston. Growing up, the Chauncey School, she attended Radcliffe. And in 1902, she was publisher and editor of the Cambridge Press. Things seemed to be going quite well for her. And 1914, at the age of 38, got married. And 1 year later, she found out that she had roughly 6 to 18 months to live, from four different doctors, actually, in Boston. She had a number of health issues. And the health issues, she had spinal meningitis as a baby. She had polio. She suffered a stroke. She was about 5 foot tall and weighed 92 pounds. And what brought her here, she had really had no money, went to her Presbyterian minister and told her situation. And he offered her an abandoned Presbyterian ministry about 6 miles from where the college is at. And she was pretty shrewd, and she asked him, why is it abandoned? And he said, we have given up on trying to convert those Baptists. And so she came not to proselytize nor evangelize, but made a 3-week trip in a horse and buggy, and that's what brought her to Kentucky.
Now, this is at Pippa Passes, Kentucky, right?
That's correct. She was at 6 miles away from here, and it was probably a year and a half later, some of the locals at Pippa Passes. At that time, it was 1917 by now. And, of course, some locals went to her, and one said he had a vision that a foreign lady was going to bring education to his children. And so they built her a cabin at Pippa Passes. She and her mom and husband moved into the little two-room cabin, and it still sits in the heart of her campus. Her husband actually left her, so it was just her and her mom. And in 1917, that's where they set up shop, and no buildings. There was not a single school, high school in this county, nor a few surrounding counties. And so she started education right here at Pippa Passes.
Now, Pippa Passes is not a very big town, is it?
Oh, no. No, you take the college out, and there might be 50 to 75 people. So very, very small. And as I mentioned, Ms. Lloyd never had any money, so how in the world is she going to start a college? She and her mom came up with 40 names, people that they knew in the New England area, around Boston, and up in New York, and she sent out appeal letters. And she told Oliver, number 9, even then antique typewriter, that she had in the print business from Cambridge, the Cambridge Press. And her first letter said, the leaders are here. They just need an opportunity. And that opportunity must come through education. And not just any education, but a character-based education. And so the locals have told her, you know, if you can raise money, we will build buildings. So people sent donations of money, some sent clothes, and her co-founder, Dr. June Buchanan, she came in 1919, January, for a two-week break from, she was a graduate student at Wellesley College, and she ended up staying almost 69 years. In fact, I was a pallbearer in her funeral when she passed away, 3 weeks shy of her 101st birthday. But she was a remarkable woman, and they made an outstanding team. They started a high school here in 1919 with 2 students. In 1923, became incorporated as the Caney Creek Community Center. In 1925 and 26, the first two-year graduating class of 2 students, and just a remarkable, remarkable story.
And the book, A Miracle on Caney Creek, by Jerry Davis, that's a book that you sent me about this, right?
Correct. Dr. Davis actually hired me. I was a basketball coach at Eastern Kentucky University. My degrees were biology and chemistry. I was a young man getting ready to get married. Didn't marry till I was 29. And just got saved. I just gave my life to the Lord, and I felt God lead me to this little school. And so I came here to work for Dr. Jerry Davis, my wife and I did, thinking we would stay 2 years. And this is actually our 37th year. I did not initially come as president. I did lots of other jobs, and I've been president now since 1999, so I have the longest tenure of any other president. And I'm the first president from Appalachia.
Tell us what the most unusual thing about Alice Lloyd College is, because I know that college education is very expensive and that many families can't afford to send their children to college, but getting an education is also extremely important. So tell us what it is about Alice Lloyd College that differentiates it from practically all the other colleges.
I'll give you a few things. First of all, we are a work college. There are 9 colleges that are recognized as work colleges whereby all students must work and to help defray some of the cost of their education. There's 9 of us in the country. In 1992, Congress recognized then 5 colleges, of which we were one, making a greater financial contribution to our students than other colleges because of the work program. So that's one of the things that makes us unique. Another thing that makes us unique, we are the only 4-year degree-granting college institution in the world that recruits exclusively rural Appalachia. Another thing that makes us unique is we guarantee the cost of education or all of the tuition to any of our students who come from our service area. And it's 108 counties in parts of 5 states, 40 counties in Kentucky, 28 in West Virginia, southeastern Ohio, western Virginia, and the northeastern strip of Tennessee. If you're from that area, you come here and you pay not $1 out-of-pocket tuition. We're also unique in that we are the only college in the world that has a program such as the Caney Cottage Program. Any student who graduates from Alice Lloyd, when they finished, or if they get admitted to medical school, dental school, We financially support them in medical school, graduate school. The hope is that they will return to Appalachia and serve the region and try to help those who are in need. And we've tracked our students from the very beginning, and roughly 83% of our student body returns to the region. We're also unique in that we are the only college in the state of Kentucky that has on campus a preschool daycare all the way through college. We do that to help us attract and retain quality faculty members by offering them a place for their students to get a model education. And our K through 12 is called the June Buchanan School after our co-founder. And of course, the four-year college is Alice Lloyd, which was not named until after Mrs. Lloyd passed away. So those are a few things that I think separate us. Our students graduate with very little or no debt, and again, 83% do return to the region.
And you have been recognized as one of the top colleges in the country for a number of things. Can you go over some of that?
I can. We're one of the top schools, U.S. News and World Report, we're consistently one of the top schools for graduating students with the least amount of debt. And the whole idea behind that is we want the students to return. In many cases, they're returning to an area where they're not going to make as much money here in Appalachia as maybe they will in a metropolitan area. So if they're strapped with a lot of student debt, they're probably not going to be able to come back. So that's another reason why we started helping through our Caney Cottage program, students who are in medical, dental, or whatever. In fact, we have 53 students in that program as I speak this year. 15 of them are in medicine. We have several, and they go all over the country to school, wherever they're admitted. We do have a dormitory on the University of Kentucky's campus, and they can live there free if they go to a program at the University of Kentucky, rent-free. It's in walking distance of everything, so that makes it kind of special for them. But that's one of the things U.S. News and World Report talks about. The schools in the South, our regional schools, we were selected the third best value school out of all the colleges in the South. Looking at the quality of our faculty, we have almost a 70% terminal degree faculty. Looking at the cost and just overall quality, we were picked the third best. And our alumni support, not amount of dollars, but percentage support, is consistently one of the best in America. We're ranked, I think, seventh or eighth in the country there, and first in the South. 48% of our alumni last year, 47.7% to be exact, made a donation back to the school of some size. And that's in the U.S. News and World Report. Selectivity, we brought, I think, 199. We've got 574 students at the college. I've got 114 students K through 12. And 36 students in preschool. And I mentioned 53, so if you add it up, we've got a little over 800, around 800 students altogether. And, it's just a very unique, a very, very special and exciting place to be.
Now, I remember reading that you accept no direct federal, state, or local funds, that you are able to run the college on donations from people in the country. Is that right?
That is correct. Mrs. Lloyd made the statement many years ago. And there was an article written by a gentleman named William Dutton, who wrote for the Saturday Evening Post, I think it was. And he came down to do a story, and he asked her the question, why do you not accept direct federal money? Now, we do take the student gets the Pell Grant money if they're Pell eligible, but we do not accept any direct government money. And she was asked that question. Her answer was, if we take the money, they will come and tell us how to spend it. And so we've kind of kept that same philosophy, and we've not deviated from that. So we operate strictly on the free enterprise system.
And you're doing such an important work there at the college that I would like to give out the internet address so that they can come to your site and see some of the things that you're doing. And it's ALC for Alice Lloyd College .edu. And that's your online address. So people listening today, go over to that website and see if you want to help Alice Lloyd College in some way or the other. Now, I understand, and you know, it might seem that because you're not a name college with lots of professors and funding and everything like that, that you wouldn't have a great success rate with respect to getting your graduates in professional programs and everything. But that's not the case, is it?
No, roughly 95 or so percent of our students, if you look at our graduating class each year, 92 to 96% of our students, 6 months after graduation, they're either in graduate school, professional school, or they have a job. And that runs about 20% higher than it does at the public school.
Right, right.
Our students, you know, I think they're in demand. I visited a foundation a number of years ago, and the executive director of the foundation, I shared the story, and he said, you know, we've got businesses all over the United States, and each year we hire some of the brightest and best graduates that our colleges and universities have to offer. He said, the unfortunate thing I'm finding is that each year we're spending more and more money in training these students how to work. He said, in many instances, their first day at work is the first day they have ever worked. And he said, your students, it seems like, would be in demand. I said, yes, sir, they are.
And being a work college, I believe your policy is that the students have to work at least 10 hours a week. Is that right?
A minimum 10 hours per week. We have some students that have greater need, and they'll ask for 15 or 20 hours. And so we try to help them with that, and we fundraise for that as well.
And so the entire time that they're learning and going through college, they're also learning how to do a job, be responsible, take leadership and other types of characteristics that business wants. So that's very important, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely important. In fact, when they graduate, they not only get a diploma, they get a work certificate or work diploma. And they're building a resume while they're here, showing areas of proficiency. Our students do everything. Freshmen coming in, you know, they're cleaning bathrooms, and you've got doing a lot of the labor, you know, groundwork. As they move on the next year, they may be working in a lab. They may be an assistant to a professor. They're running the IT department. They're the dining hall, the bookstore, just so many, many different jobs. And we do 20% of our work is community service. We go off campus and do work in the community. So, yes, they're building quite a resume.
Well, it was interesting in our talk prior to starting today, we talked about the fact that when I was an emergency medicine doctor, I served at St. Mary's of the Way, is it? Is that the name of the hospital?
Yeah, Our Lady of the Way Hospital.
Our Lady of the Way, which is in Martin, Kentucky, which is right down the road from you. And although I don't ever remember getting to Pippa Passes, I imagine that it's very similar. And this is an Appalachian region where there's a lot of poverty. And it would be extremely hard for a person to be born into the situation that I saw there in the emergency department and you've seen there in the HIPAA passes. It would be extremely hard for a large percentage of those people to accomplish what they have been able to accomplish due to Alice Lloyd College. And I think that that's just something that everybody ought to know about, because it's in our country and the educational setup that they've got and everything, so many of the people in all areas of the country have difficulty funding college. And when they take on student loan debt and everything, it can be in many, many, many thousands of dollars that they owe before they ever get to their first job. And so this is remarkable, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you. And you know, I think that's one of the things that's kept me here all of these years. Again, I'm from the region, and but I told my wife, I really thought when we came here we'd probably stay a couple of years. And I keep saying, I still mean this, as long as, I guess I'll be here as long as God wants me to be here. But if you look at a profile of our student population, and we look at our freshman profile each year, roughly 30% of my incoming freshmen, the taxable family income was between $0 and $2,999. So about 3 out of every 10 come from that type of situation.
And that's a family income.
That's correct.
Wow. Wow.
That's correct. So it's very impoverished. Also, too, Dr. Henderson, we get roughly every year a 70% first-generation college student. So it's a very, and you having worked in Appalachia, I'm sure you could see and understand that.
Absolutely. So what else would you like to tell my listeners who are all over the world about your college that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, our teaching philosophy, I think, is quite unique. We haven't attempted to reinvent ourselves. In 1925 and 26, you heard me say early in my opening remarks that Ms. Lloyd learned real early on that lesson. She did not come to proselytize nor evangelize, but she wanted to, this school founded on solid Judeo-Christian principles. Therefore, she and Ms. June came up with the Purpose Road philosophy. If you come to, and we still teach it today, that's still our philosophy. If you come to this campus today, the road running down the middle, there's a sign, it's Purpose Road. That's our address. There's little signs that go up and down the sides of the hills, and those little signs are conscience, duty, action, interest, courage, consecration, character, integrity. Those are desired character traits that your students are expected to have or build upon as they literally and figuratively walk the Purpose Road. Well, what's the result? What's the end product of all this? The end product is that our graduates should be prepared for what? They should be prepared for a lifetime of service. Service to who? Service to God first, and then our fellow man. So that is our teaching philosophy today, as it was in 1925 and 26. For another thing I would say, for this school to continue to be successful, I think there's a few things. Number one, we need to stay out of debt. As I mentioned, we don't borrow money. We have no debt. We do not have an endowment large enough to run a program and guarantee the tuition to students, so we've got to stay out of debt. Number two, we've got to control our spending. Number three, we have to continue working on our endowment or growing our endowment, which will help secure the future of the school. And finally, we need to do all of that while staying true to our mission.
Well, I don't know that you have the full story of what I've been doing for the last 18 or 19 years, but back then, a long time ago, I started a radio ministry, and it was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the station was 1,000 watts. And I don't know.
I don't know if you know
what 1,000 watts will do, but it will get the signal out of your neighborhood and maybe to the next neighborhood. But
yeah.
they didn't have any content, and I volunteered to give them content. And so my program was called Share Your Mission, because I thought that mission was terribly important in every individual's life. I thought that everybody was created with a mission, and it was up to the individual to find out what their mission was, and then to pursue it. And so for these years, and probably 900 plus interviews like this one, I have tried to go to that to tell people that everybody's got a mission. You'll have the best life possible if you will find out what yours is and do it. And you're a great example of why and how my program and my ministry got started. And then later on, the broadcasting changed, and the local radio stations kind of fell by the wayside, and everything was on the internet. But that was a big improvement, because back in the early years, if you didn't hear my show at 5:30 p.m., you didn't hear it.
Yes, sir.
You know, it wasn't stored. You couldn't get back to it. And there were only a small number of people that actually could hear it because they lived close enough to the tower. But then, you know, a number of years ago, we got the internet in. And I started taking my programs off the analog and putting them on the internet. And at that time, the idea, the concept of purpose and mission in life was one of the big things that I was promoting to the world. And as a matter of fact, my career has been in helping people get over their addictive behaviors, 31 addictive behaviors I've identified now. And just for the listeners' information, probably the most addictive behavior for the most number of people in the country is screen addiction. People are addicted to their telephones, their TVs, their video games, anything that's got a screen on it. The most number of people are addicted to that behavior. And then maybe the second might be overeating. But at any rate, regardless of what you're addicted to, it's always going to hurt you. And so one of the underlying things that I like to teach is you've got a purpose, find out what it is, and do it. And that will make the biggest impact in your life if you'll do that. And I've got a book. It's available on Amazon. It's called Freedom from Addiction, and then the number 3. Freedom from Addiction 3 at Amazon.com. And if you have practically any problem associated with any behavior that would qualify as an addictive behavior, there's where you go. And the other thing is my podcast, of which this is one, is available to anybody at no cost. And the easiest way to get there is to go to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N.com. Libsyn is the company that produces the distribution of the program. But that will take you right to the podcast, and there are so many podcasts that you can go through to find out what you're interested in or what your problem is and that kind of stuff, that I would recommend that anybody who has problems in their life go over there, because you're going to find out something really unique with each one of them, just like this one on education is truly unique. And Joellen, we really appreciate your mission, your purpose, what you've done for Appalachia and what you've done for all the college students, and even now from earlier than college, because it's going to make and has been making and will make tremendous improvement in the education system of the people who can access it. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Okay, so that's our program for today. And Joellen Stipp, he's the president of Alice Lloyd College. Their internet access is www.alc, for Alice Lloyd College, .edu. And their address is ALC 100 Purpose Road, PIPA, that's PIPPA. Passes, PASSES, Kentucky, 41844. And Joellen, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Dr. Henderson, and my prayers are with you and your work, too. And thank you so much. And my wife and I look forward to picking this up on your webpage.
Okay. Well, we'll see you later, Joellen.
Thank you.